The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Frizz, the Rally and Roars for it at McGurk's, presented by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey. In moments, we will welcome Terrell Owens to the stage. Ike Reese is on the stage. Hugh Douglas is on the stage. Jack Fritz is on the stage.
Yep.
There's Fritzy.
Who doesn't belong?
Well, I see the car. I see the... Rod gave me the thumbs up. But I also want to be... Matt, can you tell me when he's right there?
Yeah.
We can introduce
Rod him. Didn't do the first shrug first with
no.
the yawn?
Yeah. The Twitter question, but just get this out of the way. Brought to you by Mark's Jewelers for a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful. Visit the home team at Mark's Jewelers online at marks-jewelers.com. Is everybody ready?
We are.
Is everybody ready?
We are. They didn't make this much noise for me today.
Yeah, I know. What the hell? We've been here all day. I didn't hear that noise. So I want, when he walks in here, for you to give him the biggest Philadelphia welcome that you can give T.O. Are we ready for this? Are we ready for this? Fran, can you turn the speakers up so people can hear me? There we go.
Not too much, Fran. You're doing too much.
Damn it, Fran.
As we await Terrell Owens. Hugh is up here. Hugh, you all right?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm a little sleepy.
A little sleepy? Long day.
Wake your ass up.
Hey, listen. Complaining about a four-hour day is crazy.
Yes, it is. We live a blessed life, don't
we? That's what I'm saying. Complaining. I'm not complaining, people. I'm just, I'm a little sleepy.
Sometimes I go home after the show and I'm like, whew, I'm so tired.
And you feel bad because people like working real jobs.
Real jobs. Yeah, physical jobs. Even. Yeah.
You got to love this city, man. I was talking about it this morning. Riding up here.
Yes.
Spike, we are blessed to be in the throes of some of the craziest fanatical people on the planet of the earth, man.
Well, yeah. I will say passionate. People use passionate to describe Philly. Now, passionate makes you act bad sometimes.
Yeah.
Passionate also is this sort of thing.
Yeah.
For like an event that, in the end of the summer, here on a random Wednesday.
As packed as it is.
Mm-hmm. I see Lakin. Where is he, Lakin?
This is how you bring a crowd out. Shout out to everybody out here at McGurk's.
Yeah, shout out to everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Terrell Owens. T.O., 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 T.O.
What's up, big dog?
I'm good.
Ladies and gentlemen, Terrell Owens!
It never gets old.
That's how you bring them out.
Oh, man, the pit bull is here.
so you heard that.
I did. I missed that.
No, I said, it's like, I said, this is the first time. Okay, I'm going to let this go first.
So now can I
tell my story?
You can tell your story.
So we were talking this morning, and it was like, well, so what is this like going to be like with T.O.C.? I said, well, it's kind of like a pit bull that's off a leash. You don't know who the owner is. You don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know what they say about pit bulls, but all pit bulls aren't the same.
It's true.
I said, but he's a pit bull.
They can be temperamental.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I said, so we gonna be cool. And if the pit bull ain't cool, then I guess that's what it's going to be today.
It's all good.
It's cool. Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good.
So before we get into the conversation with you and Hugh, I just, what is it, T.O., about you and Philadelphia that has kept up? I mean, we're 20 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time, 20 years later. What do you think it is? Why do you think the reaction is like this when you come back?
Number one, I think they knew what they were getting when the Eagles acquired me.
from San Francisco, and then I've always been a blue-collar guy. You know, I've always been a hard worker. I understand the city of Philly, the fans here. They're passionate. That's how I grew up. You know, my grandmother, she raised me to be passionate and to believe in who I am and stand on my beliefs. I was a God-fearing man. And just with, you know, Houghton, you know, you don't know who the owner is. But with the pit bull, the dog on the leash, that owner was my grandmama. She had me on that leash. And like I said, Hugh and I, like I said, we haven't seen each other in years. But like I said, she always taught me to take up for myself. And that was one of those situations we came, you know, came to a situation and I had to defend myself. So, like I said, that's a big guy. That's a big guy. You know what I mean? that's a big guy. But at the end of the day, man, when you think about just coming here and doing what I did, and I was wanting the opportunity to come here and try to win a Super Bowl, yeah. And I tried not to disappoint. You know, I wanted to be good as advertised. I always talk about now that I'm in the Hall of Fame. When I first got nominated in 2016, I thought about and I reflected on my career. And when I reflected on that career, part of it was really just that year and seven games that I played here. I thought about the desire and dedication and the discipline to it that enabled me to come in and play with the passion. And then even, like I said, you know, being hurt late in that first season, having only 6.5 and 7 weeks to get ready for the Super Bowl with a broken leg, fibula, and I had torn all the ligaments in my ankle, 2 screws in a plate. I wanted so desperately to win something that they hadn't done in so many years here. We didn't accomplish that, but we got close to it.
I tell you, man, listening to you talk about, you know, that run up to the Super Bowl, before we address the elephant in the room, I remember you being in the training room at some point during that time. Mm-hmm. And you know how we all be in the training room hanging yeah. out. And you were saying then, just get us there to the Super Bowl and I'll be ready. I'll
yeah.
be there.
Yeah, yeah. I did an interview on the way back from surgery from the hospital. I don't know if it was this radio station, but I did an interview and they asked me, was I going to be ready for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And I said, if those guys get to the Super Bowl, I'll be ready.
He never wavered in that, man. And that was. We hadn't even seen hyperbaric chambers back then, so we didn't know what the hell.
That was new stuff.
you were like one of the first athletes that was truly into sports science, innovative stuff.
Yeah. I was,
man,
doing
seeing you out there with the bands, the rubber bands, stretching, that's the thing that I remember. Everything.
The core workouts were bananas. Like, the core workouts would be like 30 and 40-minute workouts.
Prior to the workout.
It was bananas.
That's why you still look like this, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I try to do what I can do, man.
Looking good.
Just in case, you know, they need me for third down, red zone.
Dude, I'm available. I'm available. And he ain't joking either.
No,
he's dead serious.
I'm dead serious.
he's dead serious. All right, so they put me in the middle of you two because I'm like Mills Lane. I'm an official, right?
We could have sat right beside each other. There's nothing going on. Over the years, like I said, you addressing the elephant in the room. Like I said, that was years ago. We both have matured. I'm sure we take ourselves back to that situation. I'm sure we both could have done, you know, a lot of things differently.
We definitely could have handled it differently.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
I love that. All right, so I only got a couple questions here. First of all, was there a victor? Anybody win or did anybody no loss?
Listen, let me tell you.
That was no bloodshed. None of that.
Okay.
I don't know for T.O., but it was one of it was. I used to call it. I probably can't say it on air because Spike might want to dump it. But we both swung and missed.
Right.
And when I tell people that story, they never believe it. The most action happened, if you might remember, when we were in the hallway and I was talking to Donovan. And I was talking about what happened, and T.O. went in the hallway, and he said, hey, if somebody else wants some, he can get some too. And I looked at Donovan, right?
Right, exactly.
And I said, well, he ain't talking about me. I said, he ain't talking to me.
Right.
He got to be talking to you.
Let's not steer this thing in the wrong direction.
All I'm saying is, we both have
the same account of what's going on.
That's what I'm saying.
I basically spoke what you were saying.
It was basically... We exchanged words.
Right.
We tussled.
That was a little bit of a tussle. And
then they broke us up.
Right. Trotter got in between us.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I remember later on, Trotter was like, bro, I knew you were strong, but I didn't know you were
that
strong.
No, dog, let me tell you, because you didn't know this story. Let me tell you. So Trot grabs me and puts me in a headlock, right? So I go in the hallway because I leave out the building, right? So I'm breathing hard as hell. And Trey was like, what's wrong? I said, yeah, man, me and T.O. just got in a tussle. He said, he pretty strong, ain't he? I said, hell yeah. I said, listen. I said, I don't know what was going to happen, but I said, I knew I had to make it quick. I was like, I had to make it quick. Boy, I almost cut. But I was like, that cat right there. I was like, yeah, he pretty strong.
I tell you, and hearing it third party, quite frankly, you hear so many different stories, T.O. You don't know what the hell to believe.
Right, right.
And when it's former teammates telling the story, they always add their own little sauce story. So listening to Trey tell the story, all I knew was you had got out the aquatic pool.
Butt naked. He was butt naked at one point.
I didn't say butt naked.
But they said, but Trey, you know Trey said he was butt naked.
Yes, you had your tights on.
Yeah.
By the way, T.O. had his tights on.
I wasn't naked.
And you tried him, Huey. He didn't even dry off yet. You tried to get him when he wasn't
ready. Okay, can I tell the story?
No, you tried him.
Can I tell the story? Let me tell you.
He tried to sneak you, T.O. He tried to get you. You wasn't ready yet. But T.O. was ready to go, Huey.
No, what happened was I came in there because T.O. came. Like, he was, okay, we going back, he was listening to the show. Somebody said something.
Yeah.
And I assume Angelo Cataldi.
Yeah, there you go. Tell
so me. I assume, I don't know this for sure because this is the part of the story I don't know. Right. I assume somebody told him that I said something about him.
Right.
So T.O. was like, we got a bunch of haters in the building. And I'm like, hold up, dog. I ain't saying nothing about you. I did sit there and didn't say a
rock in the crowd and somebody a holler.
So be quiet. So I went in the hydro pool and I was like, I'm talking trash and I'm like, yo, dog, if you wanna mix it up, we can. I use more colorful language than that.
Right. Yeah.
And he said, wait a minute.
It wasn't too long because I had to raise up out of that. I told Rick, I said, Rick, get me up out of here.
He said, wait a minute. So then I thought about it, right? And I said, you know what, Hugh? You're not even supposed to be in here. I said, so I went. And so, remember, Don Smolinski was in there.
Okay. Yep.
So Don was in there, and we traumatized Don.
Don was in there?
He was in the locker room.
Okay.
So me and T.O. talking to each other like we on the streets of Atlanta. We calling each other everything. But the child of God. So it was like, okay, he said, okay. He said, stay right there. I'll be right back. So I'm leaving. I said, man, I got to go because I ain't supposed to be here. I'm already out of the line and whatever. So when he came back, he was like, what's up? And I'm like, man, I am here.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, like you see the cat. I'm like, dog, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
I ain't about to take the chance.
Your shoulder was hurt too, though.
Oh, yeah. But I was like, yeah.
Trying to help him out.
No, listen. So I'm like, okay. You know how they say pause.
Yeah.
What would you do in this situation? I was like, dog, I got to swing first because if he swing on me, he might hit me with a shot and put me to sleep. So I swung, he ducked it, and then he swung, and I ducked it, and we tussled.
Right, that's me, yeah.
And then Trot grabbed me, and I'm like, oh, dog, Trot grabbed me.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And he said, somebody grab T.O. And that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
All right, we started talking trash, and that was it.
And you know what? We're all here. We're brothers.
Yeah. Yes,
we're all here.
Man, listen. That's so great. And this is the thing. This is the thing that nobody knew.
Yeah.
Every now and then, like T.O. has some stuff that happened in his life, and I had some stuff that happened in mine. And he reached out to me, and I reached out to him, and we would always talk. We tried to get him on the show a couple times, but the schedules just didn't match up. But it was never – that's why I always thought it was funny when people say, well, you and T.O. got it. I say, all right, dude, whatever you think. Because at some point, because I'm pretty sure you heard I whooped your ass and you whooped mine by who different people.
Right.
So at some point, you just got to let the story be whatever the story is.
Right. Yeah.
So I just got to the point where I was like, all right, then, whatever you say.
Right, exactly.
You know, it was just like, whatever you say.
All right. What's your version of the story?
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you though, the way Hugh describes it sounds like every potential fight I've ever been in that I'm just hoping somebody shows up and pulls us away from each other. Yeah. It's like, oh no, am I in this situation? I hope somebody grabs him.
All right, so T, we'll get off of that topic because there were so many other great things. Man, that happened
during
that short
time. Can I just
talk
about one of the greatest plays that I've ever seen you make? And I tell this story all the time. We're playing the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, it was so many, especially as an Eagle.
Yeah.
But dog, it was a crossing route. And we were playing the Baltimore Ravens. It was a tight game. And I remember Donovan threw a pass, but it was low.
Slant. It was low. Oh, the low when he scrambled.
Yeah, and it was low. And dude, you didn't break stride, and you picked that thing up off the tops of your shoelaces. You remember that, Ike? And yeah. I was like,
is that the one
when
he did the Ray Lewis?
Yeah, and he took it in. But the thing that made the play so special is because you was running full speed. And when you ran full speed, it didn't look like you was running full speed. But you picked that thing up with both hands, and you grabbed it like a baby falling out of a building and was deflashing, caught it right before it hit the ground and took it into the end. I said, this cat right here.
Relax.
Slow down here.
No, but you know, I don't get to see.
I know, this is like barbershop talk.
Yeah, it is like barbershop talk.
I was like, you got to watch.
I was like, damn, did you see it? I was like, that was. I've never seen anybody make a play that looks anything close to what that was.
You know, you may be talking about when we played the Cowboys when I spit the linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hell, it was so many. Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Take your pick.
Yeah, I think that's what you meant. Yeah. We had like a little Texas rap with a little slam.
I know that play.
And then spit the linebackers. Yeah.
You see this crowd, T.O., right? They're all out for you. The thing I remember.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
One of the things I remember, it was like our first, when we went up to Lehigh. And it's like 25,000 fans trying to get into the stadium to watch practice, man.
Every morning.
And a lot of that year was because we had acquired you on the team. What did you think about that, going up there, seeing these fans? Like, what was your first impression of the Eagles fans? When did you realize, like, man, this is different?
Honestly, because that was my first year, so I thought this is what you guys had every year. I thought this is what was going on every training camp. But then, obviously, talking to Freddie and a lot of the guys, and they were like, no, people, it's not like this.
Yeah.
So it was like tens of thousands every morning at practice. But, again, that was part of what came with me as far as the stardom. And, again, that was part of, like, why I wanted to compete and why I wanted to be here to try to help win the championship. And so that was some of my fondest memories. Like I said, I'll never forget it. But, yeah, I loved being here in Philly when I played here. And just unfortunate that it ended the way that it did.
I'm unfortunate how it ended. And I'm going to ask, and you know, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Right.
What happened to the Monday night get-togethers, man? When we used to have the Monday night get-together.
Shoot, that was the lounge.
That's what I'm saying. But what happened?
Man, I don't know. Well, they can't happen if I'm not here.
No. I'm talking about they just abruptly stopped one time. Monday night, yeah.
Oh, I don't recall that. You must have been sick that week.
Oh, man. Because
I just was like,
it was happening every Monday night.
I don't know.
It was happening every Monday night.
Yeah. Would you want to let everyone know what was the Monday night?
Well, he knew what I was talking about.
Well, yeah. we would read the Bible and watch Monday night football. we would fellowship on Monday night.
Sounds like a Hugh night.
Yeah, we would fellowship on Monday nights and read the Bible.
That's what was so crazy about, you know, people saying that I didn't get along with my teammates and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But I had Monday night football gatherings, get-togethers at my house every Monday night.
And read scripture.
Yeah.
I don't know if we were reading scriptures.
Yeah.
Maybe afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I invited everybody. Coy, Ty.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason Short, everybody. Freddie. Everybody was over there. Donovan came over. He was a designated bartender.
Always.
Go figure. But we had a good time. We had a good time.
Yeah.
You're a Hall of Fame, amazing career. The your time in Philly, we remember it as big. Like it's a big part of our history as Eagles fans. Is your time here as big a part of your career as we remember it?
Absolutely. I mean, I can't say enough about, honestly, the Eagle fans and my short stint that I had here. Because people ask me all the time, either like, you know, what team did you enjoy playing for the most or the best? Or like, you know, who was your favorite coach? And I always say in between the Eagles and the Cowboys. I had some of my best years here with the Eagles. And sometimes, like, now being on social media, I don't know a lot about, like, some of my stats and some of my highlights. I get a lot of this information from a lot of Philly fans. Like, I didn't know that I played in 21 games and I scored 20 touchdowns. Yeah. So that shows you the efficiency in which, you know, we were scoring as an offense and how big of a part that I was of that offense. And like I said, it's just unfortunate how things, you know, happen. And I think over the course of the years, when everybody tried to put the blame on me and said I was the reason why things fractured, I think now people kind of have seen, like, you know, what that reason may have been. We're not going to go delve into it, but everybody tried to say that I was the issue, I was the problem. But I think if you see my career and if you watched and saw how things unfolded over the course of the years that I haven't been here, been in Philly, you know that I wasn't the problem.
And I tell you what, I mean, I only got a chance to play with him for a year. I was here in 04. But I played with other guys that have played with T.O. When I was in Atlanta. Obviously, the teammates we had here, he's right. When you talk about a teammate, the guy's a consummate teammate. You know, I remember, T.O., when you would get your shipment of shoes, your Nikes and your Jordans and stuff would come in. Like, you would, younger players, yeah, right, the younger guys who didn't necessarily have big contracts or whatever, you're giving them Jordans, you're giving them shoes, right, you're looking out for them, right? So when you talk about a guy being a teammate, you know, I don't know if there are many guys out there, especially when you talk about a player of your status and stature, was it had more of a down-to-earth sort of humility about him. And when people hear you say T.O. and humility, they think about him on the field and how he celebrated, and they feel like he's a showboat guy, what have you. But off the field, and when he's around the fellas, he was just one of the guys, man. He was one of the guys.
No, I was. I honestly feel like I was grossly misunderstood, especially by a lot of people that covered and followed the Eagles at that time, coming over from San Francisco. You have your Sal Palantonios of the world. You have your Skip Bayless.
Name. Those tell it. Get them.
Those are the guys that created this narrative that I was a certain individual. And like I said, they couldn't separate the player versus the person. Obviously, when I got on the field, I was a different animal. I stepped up my game. I tried to, you know, play at the highest level in which they acquired me. And so they just honestly, they couldn't. Like I said, they went with information that they heard from people that obviously probably didn't like me. So if you think about a 53-man roster, and you hear like maybe one or two people that didn't like me, they don't speak for the majority of the locker room. And that's what happened, and that's what followed me throughout the course of my career.
When we were talking about this in our meeting yesterday, I mentioned I read your book when it came out. And what happens with people who are famous is that they become almost like a cartoon character to people. They get defined by one or two traits. And when you hear everything about somebody, this goes for everybody, you in this case, is like when you read it and you're like, oh, I understand who he is, right, which sort of lets you understand why he may have done this that way or why he may have done that way. But people don't usually get all of that. You know, they can't. They don't have enough time.
No, and I always try to liken it to, like, I mean, everybody watch have these Marvel comics. You think about, like, you know, Spider-Man. You know, there's Peter Parker. You have the Incredible. You have David Banner, Incredible Hulk. Yeah. You have, you know, Wonder Woman. You have Diana. So when I played, T.O. was sort of like that Marvel
character,
mm-hmm, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so, again, you had T.O. on the football field, and I was Terrell off the football field. And a lot of people never got a chance to know Terrell.
Yep.
And they went along with what they heard about T.O., and that wasn't always factual.
Well, let me say this, because the next segment, if it's okay with you, we wanted to play Jack as, like, your five most memorable Philly moments, and we're going to play them for you and
sure,
see if you remember.
It's hard to condense it down to five, but we, but I mean, 20 touchdowns in 21 games is pretty damn good.
But I do want to say this with you and Hugh, me as a fan, not having been, you know, in that situation with you guys, it means something, I think, to me and to us to see you. I know you guys say that you talk privately, but to see you guys together makes us feel good because those were great memories for all of us with all you guys. And to see you guys in person showing love to each other, I think means a lot to
man,
us
we grown.
Too.
I think even with Hugh, and I don't want to speak for him, but I'm sure he probably heard some things that maybe was untrue about me and my character that factored into his reaction toward me. Like I said, I can't speak for him, but at the end of the day, like I said, I came here to Philly for one reason. Only, and that was to help win a championship. I remember in my press conference, I remember one of the things that I said. I came here, I wasn't trying to steal anybody's thunder. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to come here and steal anybody. I wanted to add it to the value of what, number one, defensively, what I knew that we had on defense, and offensively, be that X factor on offense.
All right, so coming up next.
Boy, were you.
Yeah, you're pretty good, man. You're pretty good. Yeah.
I was okay.
Well, coming up next, we will take T.O. through the best plays. T.O. is here with Gran Coromino, which is Kevin Hart's tequila, the official tequila of the Eagles. He's doing an event tomorrow with Gran Coromino.
Turn
Gran
up.
Coromino. I'm saying it right. Gran Coromino and Joe DiCamera.
Turn up now,
I turn up now, bro. I tell you. I didn't used to turn up when I was playing, but now every now and then I'll take
turn
a
up a little bit.
So T.O., Gran Coromino, and Joe DiCamera, the Uptown Beer Garden in Center City, that is tomorrow. Thank you for being here with us. We have another segment. It's going to be great. Hugh, T.O.
You trying to get me to
No.
Brother, you're welcome to hang.
You're welcome to hang.
I'm just saying. I was like, I feel something.
All right, no.
This has been a long day.
Brotherhood is here.
Locker room.
So that is coming up next. We are in Royersford for Rally in Royersford at McGurk's, presented by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.